hear the charges against him. Right now, he's facing only 3 federal counts of attempted murder. Soon, he'll face more. Murder charges take longer to process because of the death penalty component. Alex Stone, ABC News, in federal court in Phoenix.
And Oscar nominations will be announced tomorrow. And as we hear from reporter Michael Weinfeld, some potential nominees are handling the Oscar buzz better than others.
Oscar buzz can make some actors, like Colin Firth of The King's Speech, giddy.
And you talk as big as you like, and I just welcome all of it.
And others, like Leslie Manville of Another Year, blasé.
I'm not going to lose my head over it.
Old-timers like Robert Duvall of Get Low can sound weary.
The whole town out there is so preoccupied with the Oscars.
And newcomers like Natalie Portman of Black Swan are just happy to be mentioned.
It's obviously a big honor.
We'll find out tomorrow who will be honored and will be snubbed. I'm Michael Weinfeld. CBAC News Time is 9:04.
I've got a crack.
I've got a crack.
I've got a crack.
I've got a crack.
I've got a crack. It's big. But not a thing. It was a rock. A tree. I hate those things. Really wish it was a place so I could see.
The crack is big. Getting bigger. The crack is bigger. I'm also bigger. The crack is bigger. But I know what I will do. I'll go to the crack.
Hassle-free, first response glass fixes it.
Our CFAX newsmaker this hour is John Baird, government house leader in Ottawa. John Baird. Tell me that name if I call you after the news. Win $241 from Island Marble at islandmarble.bc.ca. Time now to check CFAX weather. Well, a little on the rainy side for this morning, but by this afternoon, the rain will start to ease off. Just a chance of showers for the rest of the day. Highs to 8. That chance of showers lasts overnight with lows down to 6. Tomorrow, we'll see maybe a small chance of drizzle throughout the day. Clouds otherwise. Temperatures will hold around 9 degrees throughout the day. And just a chance of showers into the end of the week as well. Maybe even some sunshine here and there. Right now, 7 degrees outside the CFAX studios. I'm Ryan Price. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Our news time is now 9:05.
This is the CFAX 1070 market update. The Toronto stock market has moved higher as investors are showing an optimistic face ahead of the start of the Canadian earnings season. The TSX is up 95 points, while stateside, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has gained 76. The Canadian dollar added a quarter penny to $1.71 U.S. March crude is down 97 cents, while gold prices have moved ahead by $6 an ounce. I'm Chris Mayberry, and that is the CFAX 1070 Market Update.
For a limited time, save 7% off the cost of roofing. Book with Sam the Roofer now and avoid that extra 7% tax on your new roof or re-roofing. There are limited dates available, so book now. See Sam the Roofer in the Yellow Pages.
Sam the Roofing Man. Count on him for your roofing plan.
Serving Victoria for over 50 years. Sam the Roofer. Qualified professionals and an A-plus accredited member of the Better Business Bureau.
It's your money, and what happens with it is your business. Keeping you informed about it is ours. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Hi, it's Joe Easingwood, and today we're talking with Melissa Timewell, Director of Bakery Departments at Thrifty Foods, about the range of freshly baked breads that are available at your local Thrifty Foods Bakery Department. Melissa, tell us more.
I'm quite pleased to say that the trade and tradition is alive and well at Thrifty Foods. Throughout the night, while most of us are sound asleep, our certified Red Seal Journeyperson Bakers are hard at work at practicing the art of tried, tested, and true baking practices that have been passed down through many generations.
Well, now, you've got me curious. What makes these breads so traditional?
Each one of our bread creations start out with just the basic ingredients, flour, water, and yeast. From there, each variety of bread takes on its own character and is created using time-honored traditional baking practices. As all of our breads and buns are baked right in store, they taste just like they came right out of your own oven.
Head down to your local Thrifty Foods today, and be sure to check out the selection of mouth-watering creations baked fresh in-store every day for you.
Change the look of your home in just one day with Harbor Door. Harbor Door's showroom is filled with all sorts of stylish, low-maintenance, and energy-efficient garage doors to beautify your home. Contact Harbor Door to arrange for your free in-home estimate, and don't pad for free removal and haul away of your existing door. For overhead garage doors, operators, and gate systems, count on the door professionals at Harbor Door. Celebrating 25 years in business, online at harbordoor.com and 210 Mary Street.
Introducing the winter of 2010 with weather conditions by La Nina. And introducing the 2011 Forester with symmetrical all-wheel drive by Subaru.
The 2011 Subaru Forester, the new La Nina mobile, is now available starting as low as $27,945 at Saunders Subaru on the Old Island Highway. The coffee's always on.
This is Jerry from Rand Automotive with fantastic news for our clients and downtown automotive customers as well. Mike Bostick of Downtown Automotive has relocated to join the team of service professionals at Rand Automotive. This makes our great team even greater. Mike and I wish to invite all his clients to visit randautomotive.com or call Mike direct at 360-1760. The one thing the Victorians have counted on for over 25 years is quality people and quality service at Rand Automotive. Call 381-5455.
Now, Straight Talk, Murray Langdon on CFAX 1070.
Great to be with you this morning. Coming up between now and noon, we'll take a look back at the past 5 years. Stephen Harper celebrating over the weekend 5 years of conservative minority rule here in Canada. We will do the good, the bad, and the incomplete as well. A look-see at what's happening in Esquimalt, a couple of key issues that have some regional application as well. Also going to be discussing taxation. The hidden taxes, not just what we see in terms of income tax or over-the-counter tax, like the harmonized sales tax. We're also going to preview the Oscar nominations of what's coming up. Off the top, let's deal with child welfare here in British Columbia, an issue that has been somewhat problematic over the past 3 or 4 years. Barb Whittington is with the School of Social Work at the University of Victoria. She joins us via telephone. Barb, great to have you on the program today.
Good morning.
How would you estimate BC is doing right now in 2011 when it comes to child welfare and child protection?
Well, I'm sure listeners get tired of hearing this, but we're not doing very well. I mean, there's more Indigenous children, Aboriginal children, First Nations children. There's more in care now than when we had the huge report by Judge Hughes in 2007. And in addition to that, by the ministry's own reports, the deaths of children that they are working with are not meeting the standards, the service standards.
And we've had a couple of high-profile incidents here in the capital region that have contributed to the awareness of what's taking place here in BC. How do we right this ship, given that we've had such oversight, we have a representative for children and youth? You would think, Barb, that we would be on top of this file.
Well, it's certainly being a social worker and working in child protection work is probably, as far as I've ever been able to see, the most difficult job in the world. Because either people are mad at you because you didn't act quickly enough, or they're calling you names because they think you took children away from families when they weren't needed. So, first of all, the workers who are doing that are the very best, and having done that job myself, I know there's still streets that I get sick to my stomach driving down those streets in Victoria, because I know there were situations where I didn't have the evidence, but there I knew there was something wrong going on. So it's really, really difficult. So putting that in that kind of context, there still are things we can be doing, and the ministry's recently released 12 reports about deaths of children either that were in the care of the ministry or were, as they say, known to the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you even look at what they've identified, there's some great guidelines there about the need for people to have supervision, for social workers to have someone to talk to who has more experience. That just seems so sensible and the way it should be. Imagine being the only social worker in some smaller place in BC, and you have to make decisions you have no one to discuss it with. I mean, that's not right. That's wrong.
Let me ask you, Barb, as we talk about this, you know, with an audience that's tuning in right now, why should people care? Why should people be alerted to what's taking place?
Well, I think people do care, and they need to care because those are all our kids. if we're looking at how we're doing as a society, it's about how we look after seniors who are facing life-threatening illnesses. It's about people who are waiting for transplants of organs, and it's certainly about children and what kind of lives they have. And if those children have a healthier life and a better start, then we'll have a stronger province and we'll have a stronger country. So I don't think, from when I talk to people do care. I don't think there's any question about that. I think we need to put some real, real emphasis on what's needed. And I think there's better training needed. I think there's a need for adequate supervision. And I think there's a need for less double talk about whether or not the Ministry of Children and Families is doing all right or not doing all right. I'm very tired of the representative and the ministry arguing all the time. I know that the representative's job is to oversee what's going on, and we have to have those people focused on the same goals.
And given that if we were to look to the two people atop this pyramid of child welfare or child protection here in BC, Barb, when we see them scrapping, what kind of message does that send to everyone else?
As Judge Hughes has been really clear in his report about what's necessary, and I think the two people, as you say, at the top of the pyramid, those people that are maybe not at the top of the pyramid are thinking, well, every day I just go about my job trying to keep kids safe in our province, so they can just go ahead and scrap if they want to scrap. But for from a larger point of view, I think it really models something that we don't want to see. And I think they have a lot more in common than they do have as differences, but we need to figure out the ways to get there. And even right now, there's budget cuts at schools with social work, so there is likely to be fewer social workers graduating, and there's a huge shortage. I was reading through all of the reports about the 12 children and youth who died, and almost in every report, someone was the acting team leader or the acting social worker or the acting whatever. And that says to me that there's a turnover issue, there's a lack of good morale issue, and we have to look at that.
Well, if you take a look at the demands of the field, take a look at the practice on a day-to-day basis and how demanding that would be on an individual. And then when you take a look at the structure of this ministry or the organization, these are the complaints I hear about inadequate resources, an unclear or a blurred line of reporting, consistency, an ever-changing set of rules or guidelines. I mean, given that you have so many variables or so much in flux, no wonder people are either walking away from this as a career or not even considering it in the first place.
Well, I have to tell you that when we have, every year we have admissions for schools of social work, and we cannot keep up with the demand of the number of people who wish to go into social work. We have probably 3, 4, 5 times as many people applying.
That's amazing.
And they are almost all people who have already been out in the world of work, who have already usually have a degree already, who have a lot of life experience, and they want to come to social work, and there's not enough spaces for them. And when they talk about lack of supervision, the people who do the supervision are usually people with masters of social work and a ton of experience under that belt. And once again, we have probably 3, 4, 5, no more than that this year, maybe 10 times the demand for spots in the masters of social work than we can fill. And the reason why we can't fill them is that the government is cutting back the grants to the university or keeping them exactly the same, which, ends up in a cutback. So we want to train more social workers. They do a good job. They love their work, and they need support. And so we have to get behind them to do that.
And so what does that mean? Having more positions actually in the field?
If there were more social workers graduating, then there would be more people. Like, of the students who graduate, about a third choose working with the ministry. So there's a good interest in that group. But with the ones that choose working in the ministry, then how do they get positions if there's not really any increase in positions? And it said in the paper that it was a matter of recruitment not a matter of budget. Well, I would really disagree with that. I don't think they've really worked on the what you need to keep people in place. And I know from, I go around to different offices, and the offices where the social workers have the kind of support where they can come back to their office and talk it over with somebody and cry and, you know, think, what are we going to do? Let's do this, and have really, really creative ideas. Those are the offices where people stay, because they get that kind of support, and they're doing tough work together, just like the police do or hospital workers do. You need that kind of camaraderie and a strong sense of we're in this together. And I think it could be turned around.
So what's the roadmap then?
Well, for me, I mean, because you're talking about somebody who's at a university,
mm-hmm.
so the roadmap for me is we need to look back at the recommendations that Judge Hughes did. Only of those 62 recommendations, approximately half, maybe two-thirds, have even been addressed. That's still an excellent roadmap. We don't have to build a new road. And then we have to look at making sure that there are things in place. We have to ask those workers, what is the turnover? We don't even know. I've tried to find that out a zillion times, and they'll say, we don't know.
They don't have the stats, or they won't share them?
I would guess they won't share them.
Okay.
But that's a guess. That's not a fact. And we have to talk to those folks and say, okay, you did that job. Why did you leave? What did you need? And we work from there. Because those people who are doing the work, they know. And they know what the families need that they work with. And I work a lot with grandparents who are raising grandchildren. And there's more grandparents being asked to raise their grandchildren than there are all the children in the care of the ministry. And those grandparents have met with the minister and have met with various people and have said, we need some support. We don't get any kind of help, and we're doing the work that, you know, you're leaving for us. So the ministry needs to support those grandparents. They need to look at raising the morale of the social workers in the office, and they need to really show a united front about kids in BC.
I'll go back to that first point about the roadmap, and there's a point of disagreement right off the bat. Mary Ellen Terpel-Lafond says half, if not less, of the recommendations have been put into place. The government counters that most, if not all have been implemented or are being addressed in a different fashion. Barb, if we can't even come to agreement on that, how the heck are we going to fix what needs to be fixed?
Well, I think if we then go to what is happening in the different towns and cities in BC and ask those social workers, that would be more important information than quibbling about, well, we didn't follow that recommendation because we decided to do this different thing. We could start with, well, what is happening? So we don't have to get back and we don't have to do that to and fro with those people at the top of the pyramid, as you said. We can just find out really what's happening. But I think looking at turnover, and you know, in any organization, if people are getting what they need and doing a good job and feeling that their work has some meaning, they stay. And that's the same for radio, that's the same for hospitals, that's the same for social work. So I think if we actually talked to the people that were working with the families, they'd know. And when the grandparents met with the minister wanted to say, oh, isn't that nice that you're looking after those grandchildren and they aren't having to be in foster care? And the grandparents were saying, don't patronize us. This is what we need, and we would like to work together with you on it. And the minister has been quite responsive. So, I mean, we've got lots of work to do always, but I'm glad that the ministry had those reports on their website about the deaths of the 12 kids. I think that's a plus. But they're kind of hard to read. they don't really tell the story about what happened, and the information's pretty vague. But it's a start.
And you have to begin somewhere. Well, clearly, enough time and energy and resources have been dedicated into this field. You would think that we would be in a much stronger position than we are right now. Not to say that a lot isn't being accomplished.
Yeah, but if you look at what's happening with Aboriginal kids, I mean, there's more kids in care than there ever were in residential schools. Like, what is that about? Why is that? you know, and why are so many kids just, like in the reports that I read, the identified issues were things around there was no coordination, no long-term planning. There was no ongoing peer and professional mentoring for the workers. There was no supervision for the workers. Their reports and their investigations weren't timely. There were staff shortages. They were often acting team leaders. They, quote, missed opportunities to actually involve the child in the planning. Or they talk about insufficient resources, because there was one case where a child appears to have been with one parent, and of course it's important if they can visit the other parent, but it needed to be supervised because there were some questions there. And it just said there was no resources for that kind of visit supervision. Well, if kids get cut off from the people they love, they don't do very well emotionally. They don't do very well emotionally. They start to either act outward or they act inward and hurt themselves. And we just have to look at the kind of reports that they've given with that tiny bit of information, and we can see the problems.
To your point about First Nations here in British Columbia, there's a disproportionate amount of young First Nations that come into contact with the law or the judicial system with substance abuse problems, unemployment, and especially when we take a look at that younger cohort, you know, the teens into the early 20s. And what should be a very, it's a large segment amongst First Nations.
Huge.
And it seems to be also the one that's faced with the most problems and the least amount of hope. And it is disconcerting.
Well, I guess because I live on the peninsula and I have quite a few friends who are in the different bands around here, I also see all the strengths of those First Nations kids. And one of the good things the ministry has done is to fund a child welfare collective. So all the Aboriginal agencies working with kids are being brought together in various ways to share what they're doing and what's working and what's not working. And those are very dynamic and wonderful kind of what would you call it? I guess just learning and professional development and getting on with doing it in a better way. So I think that there are doing more of what's working and admitting there's some things that aren't and not repeating those. Like we all make mistakes, but we don't need to keep making the same ones, which is what we're doing.
Which is the frustrating part of this whole exercise, is we keep stepping into or onto another landmine time after time when it seems to be avoidable. Not to say it's easy, but it should be avoidable.
Well, the similar thing should be avoidable. There will always be kids and kids in care who don't do well, and I believe there always will be some kids who die. It's happened in every region in Canada, and it's happened all around the world, and it's happened in places that have systems that everybody admires and looks to. There will be some terrible tragedies like that. But when you can look at what happens and you see, gosh, there was no supervision there. There was no the social worker didn't have any support, or they were working alone and their caseloads were huge. I know now that social workers are expected to mentor all the new social workers that come in, but they have no extra time to do that. So they see new people coming in as a problem, not like as a help. And when I was talking to one really experienced social worker, they said, oh my gosh, you know, like to do all your work to see whether or not you've got on a Monday 10 dangerous situations to investigate, and then you get a call saying, hi, there's a new person, can you orient them and take them around? No, I can't. I have to be going out to see what's happening with that child who was missing and didn't return home. So the whole thing of staff training needs to be looked at.
How urgent do these
issues? It's so urgent that I'm just, we don't have any time to lose, and we have to keep going, and we have to keep moving forward, and we have to do it together. And the ministry has to see those of us, like schools of social work or the representative, as people who care about the same thing, because it's really and really easy for the ministry to just get so defensive, because they're often in a position where they feel under attack. but there's a lot of partners out there that would like to work with them.
Is this a matter of resources? Do we need, is it a matter of adding more money to the budget in terms of staffing or people in the field? Do you get a sense that we're a little short in that area?
Oh, there is a real shortage in terms of staff, and that's why there's so many acting positions. And acting just means you don't know what you're doing and you don't know how long you're going to be there. So, yes, there aren't acting positions all over the place if there's not a shortage of staff. And there's not a shortage of staff because of a shortage of people wishing to do the job. There's a shortage of staff because the morale's really bad, the caseloads are so high. So I think they have to do a better job recruiting from schools of social work, but you have to recruit with something to offer. Yeah, we get people calling all the time and coming to visit our students from other provinces, from other countries. And they say, this is what our vision is for working with children and families in a healthy way. This is how we would see you helping us. This is what the job is. It has to be a job people want to do. Well, I don't think that BC has been very good about doing that with new, upcoming, wonderful social workers.
We shall see if it changes, Barb. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us about this. I know... I can almost sense a note of frustration in your voice. Hopefully we do see some more meaningful change down the road.
Well, I just had a brand new grandson. He's only 20 hours old. So I think if you think of those kind of kids coming into the world, we need to act now.
Well, congratulations on that. And I think that's being echoed by a lot of people. Barb, all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Barb Whittington joining us from the School of Social Work at the University of Victoria. News to 9:30 is next. The BC Liberal strategist is dismissing concerns by an NDP member over proposed changes to her party's constitution. What's that all about? Details for Sheila Gardner next.
CFAX 1070, January 24th, and little Tavish Richard Whittington. Tavish Whittington is about 21, 22 hours old.